Welcome to the Berwyn United Methodist Church audio podcast, where each week we bring you a condensed version of our worship service. We gather in faith to read scripture, hear inspiring messages, and pray together as a community. Today, we dive into a powerful sermon inspired by the parable of the rich man and Lazarus from the Gospel of Luke. This message challenges us to recognize and respond to the needs around us with compassion and action. Open your hearts as we journey together through scripture, reflection, and prayer.
Would you pray with me?
Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that you have given us a chance to hear your word read, to hear both your good news and your warnings, so that we might heed them through your Spirit and might be transformed by your presence with us. We ask that this time we would open our ears and open our hearts to what you would have us say, so that whether through me or in spite of me, we all may be transformed by what you are speaking. Bless this time. Bless our work. Bless our beloved community that is here and those who could not be with us. We ask this all in the name of Christ. Amen.
The first reading is from Psalms 41. Lines 1 to 3. Assurance of God's help and a plea for healing. Happy are those who consider the poor. The Lord delivers them in the day of trouble. The Lord protects them and keeps them alive. They are called happy in the land. You do not give them up to the Lord, up to the will of their enemies. The Lord sustains them on their sickbed. In their illness, you heal all their infirmities.
Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, starting in verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abram. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us is a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We live in a world that has extreme need, extreme poverty. There are people who live on a month that is less than what others make in a day, and even they who do that are facing extreme poverty themselves. It's hard to go anywhere in the city just a few miles down the road in Philadelphia without finding someone who is in need, someone who is hungry. The people that come through our doors each week face tremendous need. We have a person who attends our church regularly who is homeless. The need truly is great and it's unfathomable, and so we shrink from it. We become overwhelmed by it. How can I do anything? How can I, in what little I have and what little I can do, how can I make a difference in such need? How can I change the fact that there are people around the world who die of hunger every day, who live in poverty and homelessness and in food insecurity? The task seems too big. The need seems so great. And what in the world can I do about it? We ask that question all of the time. Sometimes we ask it out loud, and other times we ask it in our hearts, and sometimes we're asking it when we're encountered by the need of someone we see each day. When I was in we lived in Nashville, this was a while ago, but it's the clearest example that comes to mind. One of the things that I tried to do was ride my bike to class. And so I took the same route every day. It was a hilly one. Usually I was not paying attention to what was going on around me because I felt like I was going to die. I was not in the best of shape, even having ridden my bike. But I would take the same route every day. And usually on that route, in the same place, there was a man, likely homeless, definitely in need. And each day that I rode, I simply passed by him. Sometimes it was because I was out of breath staring at the road right in front of me because I didn't know if I was going to make it the rest of the way. But other times I probably intentionally looked away so I wouldn't have to encounter him. So I wouldn't have to see the need and desire and ask in his eyes as I rode by and said no. When we see the needs of the world, I don't think it's us looking out at distant places where needs are tremendous. It's probably closer to those times I rode my bike and passed the same man over and over again. Because I don't think we as individuals have a whole lot of power to change the dynamics of the world on our own. To meet extreme need and extreme poverty, homelessness, and lack of care that exists thousands of miles away. But in our own backyard, on our daily walks, just down the street, I think we have a role to play. Jesus tells the story of the rich man and Lazarus. I find it amazing and interesting point that it's the poor man that is named. The rich man is never named. He tells this parable of this rich man who lined his clothes with purple, which was an incredibly expensive dye made from shellfish gathered by divers, ground up and turned into dye. And it took an incredible amount of those shells to make just a little bit of purple dye. So anytime you see the color purple on linens and cloth, it's a sign of extreme wealth. And he ate his fill every day. Then Jesus describes a poor man, Lazarus, who was covered in sores, who sat at the rich man's gate. And he was ignored, passed by. The only ones that paid him any attention were the dogs who were there to lick his wounds. I don't think the rich man hated Lazarus. I don't think that was his sin. I think it was just indifference. He passed by without seeing him. He passed by without caring. He passed by without paying him any mind. I think that's where the rich man goes wrong. Because Lazarus is not across the city. He's right at the gate. The problem wasn't being aware that there was somebody in the need. The problem was whether he would act. The rich man never actually acknowledges Lazarus, even in death. He sees him, at least. That's a change. He sees him in paradise sitting next to Abraham while he is being tormented. He at least notices him, but he never speaks to him directly. The rich man calls out, "Abraham," or "Father Abraham, send Lazarus to go get some water and bring it to me." Abraham responds, "No." He reminds him that when they were alive, the rich man had many things and Lazarus had none. And so now roles are reversed. And besides that, there's a great chasm that you can't come to us and we can't come to you. So the rich man again cries out, not to Lazarus, but to Father Abraham, "Then send Lazarus back to my household. I have 5 brothers who need to know what is in store for them if they don't change their ways." And Abraham says, "Well, they have the prophets, they have Moses, they have the scripture. They have the same thing available to them that you had to, the same laws of God, the same commandments, the same guidance, and the same calls and warnings that the prophets give. When you ignore the poor in your midst, God is not happy." And the rich man says, "Yes, they have all of that, but surely if a man came back from the dead, then surely they would listen." And Father Abraham says, "No, if they won't listen to Moses, if they won't listen to the prophets, then surely they would not even listen to a man who came back from the dead." Perhaps pointing to Jesus' own resurrection and the fact that people still deny. So this rich man who didn't acknowledge Lazarus in life and barely acknowledged him in death, wanting Father Abraham to command him to do these things for him, ends his story in Hades in torment, knowing his brothers would join him someday. This is a powerful story. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about Jesus' teaching and the urgency to reach out, the urgency to repent, the urgency to share the good news, the urgency to seek and find the lost. And here it is now, more urgency. If you don't know when your end is coming, as we've talked about a few weeks ago, then who is at your gate today? It's not a matter of who are you hating and who are you and fighting against, but and who are you casting down and beating and all of that. It's more of a benign question of who might you be ignoring? In the fear, in the face of huge need in the world, and all of the things that we worry about when it comes to helping someone, we've created an easy way to walk past the needy, those who are in need of care, attention, help, food, medicine, and we walk past them indifferent, like I did so many times on my bike, and still, if I have to be perfectly honest when I'm walking in the city, avert my gaze even now for fear of being asked and having to say no. And that's something I always wrestle with. How do I respond? How do I respond to the person who is at my gate? The unhoused, the hungry, the struggling, the forgotten. Because the issue is not hatred for that person, but barely acknowledging that they're there at all. John Wesley taught that wealth was not evil, but it's dangerous when it blinds us to the needs of others. Now, he decided to live on a fixed income and gave the rest of it away. He did not leave an inheritance for his children. He didn't have children. He ended up dying destitute, other than the books that he had collected. Now, I'm not saying that we are all called to such living, But his words of a calling to do all the good you can by all the ways that you can and all the ways that you can challenge us to see the world and see the people at our gate. To think about who we are and what we are doing and how we are spending our resources and what we are placing our emphasis on, and making sure that inaction isn't the reason for our fall. That if we are seeking out all the ways that we can do good to all the people that we can do good for, we will notice and acknowledge the people at our gate. We can no longer walk past them pretending they don't exist, or walk past them assuming somebody else will help them, or walk past them and say, well, if I help them, they'll just hurt themselves in the process. But we must acknowledge and look at and say, can I do good for this person? Do I have the means and the ways to say I can do good in this person's life by lifting them up, by giving them something, by walking beside them, by acknowledging their pain and suffering, and seeing them for who they are as a child of God? Now, I know the need is great, and I know that there are things that we can do that actually hurt those who are in need. And so I'm not saying go and walk around with a wad of $20 or $50, $100 bills in your pocket and giving it out to everyone who asks. But what I am saying is this: do you see the person that's asking when they ask? Do you see who they are as a child of God? Do you feel called in some way to respond? Can you at least acknowledge their humanity and not just avert your eyes and pretend that they're not there? The need out there is so great, and we're not going to fix it all. There's no way for any one of us to do so. But we can probably challenge the systems that create such poverty. But what we can do in faithfulness and faithful living isn't about fixing the world's problems, but walking around with intent and seeing and acknowledging. See people. See them for who they are as children of God. Instead of averting your eyes and walking past, make eye contact, stop and learn their names, acknowledge their suffering, even if there's not anything you can give them or help them with in that time. Build relationships, acknowledge that they're there, especially if they're people that you see regularly. Support ministries, charities, and efforts that do create the space for sustainable change. Advocate for justice. This is things that we can do together to work towards solutions to homelessness and poverty. We're seeing today the dismantling of so many structures and so many systems that have been in place that have been feeding the poor, making sure the sick have care, making sure the homeless have places to stay. And we can work together to challenge those changes, the dismantling of the very systems that are making sure more people have access to security, food, medicine, and living wages. One of the things that we can do to see the neighbor in our midst locally is serve, finding ways and finding groups to work with, to volunteer with, to build relationships with people in need so that we can no longer just walk past them pretending they don't exist. When we walk beside someone, when we talk to them, when we make eye contact, we see them and must acknowledge them. We are no longer able to, like the rich man, to say, hey, can you send them over somewhere else where they can get help? We as a community of faith can be a part of the solution to the needs in the world when we work together. But that will require us to talk with one another to see how we can help, encourage one another to help, address our preconceptions so that we might see the need in the world and our place in challenging it. The gospel's invitation is to challenge the rich man's conception,
in this story, both in ourselves and in others.
We have someone who came back from the dead, indeed. We have Jesus Christ. But we have the law, we have the prophets, we have the Spirit speaking into our hearts. We simply need to listen and heed the warning and understand that what we are called to do, Scripture has already made clear.
If we're willing to listen. So what's one step that you can take to this week? What's one area you may feel called to live into? To see the need, to see the hurting, to see the lost, to see the ignored, to see the downtrodden, acknowledge them for who they are and what they're going through, and no longer pass by and ignore. This parable, the chasm that exists in the afterlife, already exists today. But today we have the chance to cross it on our own. In the time to come, not so much. How can we build that bridge now over that gap? So we no longer step past those who are in need, find ways to invite them to our table.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that your Spirit is with us, that through your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived, was tortured and died and rose again, you have given us a chance to be a part of your kingdom work. You have given us a chance to see the world through your eyes. You have called us through your Scriptures over and over again to see the needs of our world, to acknowledge them, but to see the people around us as your beloved children. And you challenge us to not avert our eyes, but to reach out to love and care. You have invited us to be a part of your redeeming work in this world that is bringing all people to you, that will bring out justice across all lands, that in spite of our differences, in spite of the things that divide us, you unite us and invite us to see ourselves as something greater than. Yet we build up walls. So help us to see you at work in our world. To see where you are building bridges across chasms that we thought impassable. Give us hope in a world full of despair. Hope that there is a better way. Hope that the way things are, not the way things will always be. Hope that says that though there are powers in this world that are working against your kingdom, they will not prevail, for even death itself could not prevail against you. And that we might live in the hope of that resurrection, that we might live in the hope as your people, that we might proclaim the good news wherever we are in both word and deed. We do not seek to proclaim this to control others, to force others to believe as we do, but simply as a way to live out the good news that you have placed in our hearts. Invite others to experience that what we have experienced for ourselves. We pray for all those people in our midst, in our lives, whether they live in our hearts, who are in need of your healing touch, who are in need of your tender care. We pray for all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones, of friends, mother, of aunt. Wrap your loving arms around all those who grieve this day, those that we know and those across this land and across the world. Show us how you are at work challenging those systems in place that cause division, cause injustice, cause hate, cause war. as we seek to be your people of peace, of transformation and restoration. Empowered by your Spirit and their love, to keep moving forward as your disciples, learning what you do and what you are doing so that we might do it in your name. God, in these moments of silence, hear the prayers of our hearts that we could not quite give voice to. But the people that we lift up, we trust that you are already at work in their lives. In the situations that break our hearts, we trust that you are already there with them. And in the midst of that challenge, in the midst of that pain, working to bring redemption, healing, and wholeness. Hear us, loving God, when our strength fails, when our words fail, when we are unsure of what to pray. May you inspire us to pray the prayer that Christ our Lord taught us so long ago as we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Berwyn United Methodist Church audio podcast. As we reflect on today's message, may we all be inspired to see those around us with renewed compassion and take meaningful action in our daily lives. Remember, we are called not just to listen, but to respond to the needs of our world with love. We hope this time of worship has uplifted your spirit. If you are local to Berwyn, Pennsylvania, and are looking for faith community, we invite you to check us out on our website at www.berwynumc.org, where you can learn more about who we are, how we serve Jesus together, and how you might become a part of it all. We invite you to tune in again next week, and if this message spoke to you, consider sharing it with someone who might need to hear it. Join us again next week as we continue to explore faith, grow in understanding, and pray together. Until then, may God's peace and grace be with each of you. Amen.